prayer. Let me just start out by making a very simple statement, but it's also Roman numeral number one. Prayer is powerful. When you say that in the fundamental church, somebody ought to say something. Prayer is powerful. Have you found that to be true? Or maybe prayers aren't being answered like you think they should be. But I want to start out tonight and give you just three Roman numerals. But the first is simply this: prayer is powerful. It allows us to cast our burdens on God, and it allows us to receive guidance and provision from God. That's what prayer does. All too often, however, I discover this to be true, and I'm sure you do as well. We take this privilege for granted. Instead of turning to the Father in prayer, so oftentimes when problems do arise, we try to solve our problems on our own. Haven't you found that to be true? That you discover you're trying to solve your problems on your own rather than going to God in prayer. You and I can experience God's power for daily living when we are willing to bow before Him and seek Him earnestly. A renowned preacher said this. I picked up on it. We stand tallest and strongest on our knees. That's a powerful statement, isn't it? We stand tallest and strongest on our knees. The question comes, do we have to kneel every time we pray, preacher? Is that what you're saying, that we have to kneel every time we pray? Oh no, I'm not saying that at all. In fact, some people are physically unable to kneel. However, the attitude of our hearts should be reverent awe and submission to Almighty God. If we approach prayer correctly, you and I can have confidence that He will respond to our request. Let's look at some principles very quickly tonight, can we? Roman numeral 2 is what I want you to write down. Nehemiah knew how to stand tall and strong on his knees. Nehemiah knew how to stand tall and strong on his knees. His role as a cupbearer for King Artaxerxes. He held an influential position. And I suppose that old Nehemiah probably, don't you think? He probably lived in luxury. I mean, he was a position of influence, and no doubt this man had luxury. But since he was a captive in a foreign country, Nehemiah was unable to go where he pleased to go. When he heard that Jerusalem's walls were in ruins, and that's what he heard, that's what we read, when he heard that, leaving the city vulnerable to attack, he suddenly turned to God. Look, if you will, in Nehemiah chapter 1 and verse number 4 now, if you will, please. And it came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. When he had heard that Jerusalem's walls were in ruins, leaving the city very vulnerable, he simply then turned to God in prayer and weeping and mourning for his city. And then the God of heaven, in chapter 2, verses 5 through 9. Follow me there, please. The Lord granted him favor with King Artaxerxes. The ruler not only let Nehemiah take a leave of absence, he also supplied the exiles here with the building materials and even military protection. Follow me down, please, as we look at chapter 2. And follow me, please. I read 5 through 9. I said unto the king, if it please the king, and if thy servant have found favor in thy sight, that thou wouldest send me unto Judah, unto the city of my father's sepulchres, that I may build it. And the king said unto me, the queen also sitting by him, for how long shall thy journey be? And when shalt thou return? So it pleased the king to send me, and I set him a time, Moreover, I said unto the king, if it please the king, let letters be given to the governors beyond the river, that they may convey me over till I come into Judah. And a letter unto Asaph, the keeper of the king's forest, that he may give me timber to make beams for the gates of the palace which appertain to the house, and for the wall of the city, and for the house that I shall enter into. And the king, look what it says, granted me according to the good hand of my God upon me. Then I came to the governors beyond the river and gave them the king's letters. Now the king had sent captains of the army and horsemen with me. The king even gave letters to the governors of the provinces on the way so that they would allow the Jews to pass through their land. What an amazing thing prayer does. Time and time again, Nehemiah sought the Lord whenever he faced a problem. Whenever he faced a threat, what did he do? He sought the Lord. He turned to God for strength to keep going despite criticism and despite discouragement. Listen, when you face problems, you will face criticism and you will face discouragement. And there will be times in your life that you will feel like, I can't go any further. The only way we can go further is by prayer. In fact, if you'll turn with me to Nehemiah chapter 4, let's look very quickly at verse 1 through 5. But it came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we builded the wall, he was wroth and took great indignation and mocked the Jews. And he spake before his brethren and the army of Samaria and said, what do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end of the day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned? Now Tobiah the Ammonite was by him, and he said, even that which they build, if a fox go up, he shall even break down their stone wall. Hear, O our God, for we are despised, and turn their reproach upon their own head, and give them for a prey in the land of captivity. God gave him wisdom, didn't he? God gave him wisdom to know how to relate to his critics. If you go to chapter 6 now, verses 1 through 3. Now it came to pass when Sanballat, Tobiah, Geshem, the Arabian and the rest of our enemies heard that I had built the wall and that there was no breach left therein, though at that time I had not set up the doors upon the gates. Verse 2, that Sanballat and Geshem sent unto me, saying, come, let's meet together in some one of the villages in the plain of Ono. But they thought to do me mischief. Verse 3, and I sent messages unto them, saying, I am doing a great work, so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease while I leave it and come down to you? See, time and time again, Nehemiah sought the Lord when he faced a problem. When he faced a threat, he turned to God for strength to keep going despite that criticism. God gave him wisdom to know how to relate to his critics and to defend the city against military attack. In fact, now we go to Nehemiah chapter 4. Look, if you will, at verse number 18, please. We're talking about how to have prayer and stand tall and strong through prayer. Verse 18 says, for the builders, every one had his sword girded by his side, so and so builded. And he that sounded the trumpet was by me. The surprise of their enemies. Do you realize how long it took the Jews to build that wall? They said, if a fox go up against it, he'll tear it down. They laughed. They jested. They joked. They made fun. They made threats. But ladies and gentlemen, to the surprise of all their enemies, the Jews built that wall. Does anybody know how long it took to build that wall? 52 days. And it was built. Wow. Unbelievable. More importantly, spiritual revival came to Jerusalem as a result of Nehemiah's faithfulness. I say one more time, prayer is powerful. That's why we're going to start our services with prayer. Prayer is powerful. That's why we have decided to pray round the clock for Nate, because prayer is powerful. That's why we're calling for fasting and prayer. Because there's a situation that needs to be dealt with. And God needs to give us wisdom. And some sins in the camp. And we need to handle it properly. Number three. Roman numeral three. How should we pray? How should we pray? Well, first of all, recognize, number one, that God is the sovereign of the universe. Do you know, ladies and gentlemen, you don't make God sovereign? He already is the sovereign of the universe. We just have to yield to His sovereignness. Recognize, we need, you and I, our church needs to recognize that God is the sovereign of the universe. Go with me to Nehemiah chapter 1 and verse 5, please, if you will. Nehemiah addressed his prayer. Notice how he addressed his prayer to God and said, I beseech thee, O Lord God of heaven. Now notice how he said, the great and terrible God. That's how he addressed him. Recognize that God is the sovereign God of the universe. You know, I think he knew that the Lord was in absolute control of all things. Do you and I know and realize tonight that our God is in absolute control of everything? Everything. Your life, our business, this church, our radio station, our Christian school, our daycare ministries, the jail, the nursing homes. God is the sovereign who's in control of everything. We're not in control of anything. God is. Go with me, if you will, to Psalm 103, verse 19. You've got to see this verse. Psalm 103, verse 19. Somehow he knew that the Lord was in absolute control. Maybe he knew this verse. The Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. God rules over everything. He's in control. He is the sovereign God. Even when difficult circumstances come our way, our Heavenly Father never ceases to be the Heavenly Father, and He never ceases to be the ruler, and He never ceases to be the master of the universe. And it doesn't make any difference about the country either. If the country goes through difficult times like we have been, and maybe those difficult times are not over yet, likely not. Amen. But our God is still in charge. He's still the sovereign of the universe. He's the one in control. You know, we're best off if we submit to Him, because He is the sovereign. Number two, recognize that God is holy. I want you to turn to Isaiah chapter 6. It'll be on the screen as well. Well, I love this passage in Isaiah chapter 6. Because here Isaiah saw the Lord in His glory. And even though he lived a righteous life, do you think Isaiah lived a righteous life? I can't find any place in Scripture where Isaiah did not live a righteous life. He lived a righteous life. But he realized, I guess what the Scripture says about us, that all of our righteousness in the presence of God is not really righteousness. Because the Bible says all of our righteousness, all of our good deeds, all of the good things we try to do is as filthy rags in the presence of God. Notice what he said here. I love this particular chapter. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Wouldn't you like to see that vision? Wow, what a vision that is, huh? Above it stood the seraphims, each had six wings. With twain he covered his face, with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice. Boy, that's something else. The post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, here's a righteous man. What did he say? Woe is me. For I am undone, I am a man of unclean lips. I dwell in the midst of an unclean people, unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. You never feel so great when you get in His presence and look at yourself compared to Him. Our biggest problem is we're always comparing ourselves with each other, and that's the world's worst thing to do, because that is not wise. The Bible says comparing yourself among yourself is not wise. We need to compare ourselves with Him. And in our generation, if you compare yourself with our generation, if you have just a speck of religion, you look a whole lot better than our generation. I mean, our world is getting more filthy all the time. I mean, if you follow the news at all, the news will even tell you, it's getting terrible. I heard a news report again this morning about how awful everything is getting. And the comment was made by the commentator, what in the world is going on? And you had to hear. You had to hear that in our own little community of Bellevue, Ohio. Did you hear the report? Now they finally did something worthwhile doing. They canceled all their dances for the year. Sandusky did too. How about that? But I heard on the news that Bellevue canceled all their dances for their school system for the whole year. And you want to know why? Because somebody said their dancing is getting plumb dirty. It's sexual suggestions all the time, and it's horrible. And somebody riled up. I don't even know if they were Christian or not, but they riled up. It's about time we should do some of that stuff. But they riled up, and they said, they went to see it for themselves, and they said, that's it. It's terrible. It's filthy. It's dirty looking. It's canceled. Well, thank the Lord that somebody's finally got some sense. But ladies and gentlemen, you let animals just continue to act without any kind of restriction, and we're going to act more like animals all the time. And by the way, animal jungle music produces animal jungle people. Somebody needs to get on a bandbox and preach. Our world is sick. And we worry about the smallest, little, stupidest things when our world is headed for hell. I'm telling you, it's unbelievable. How that we respond when the world is headed to hell. You know, RU is a fabulous program. And I know Ron from time to time, I'm sure he gets discouraged because nobody really seems to want to help. Nobody seems to want to come. That would be a really good discipleship tool for this whole church to go through. It is a fabulous, powerful program. If you ever read any of the books, seeing the material, it's right straight out of the Bible. It's as good as it can be. And yet we'll struggle with all kinds of things and never one day come to an RU meeting. You know why? Because we think we're beyond that. That's exactly why. Well, I'm not in that condition. You'd be surprised how much we're in that condition. And we're blind to where we are. I said, number one, how should we pray? Recognize that God is the sovereign of the universe. Number two, recognize that God is holy. The picture we see of God in the book of Revelation is similar in its majesty. God's holy. As humans, we fall so far short of God's absolute holiness, don't we? While He is our Heavenly Father, intimately concerned with each detail of our lives, He is also the sovereign of the universe. That means you and I should approach Him. I'm telling you, not demanding a thing from God, but approach Him with reverence and awe, for He is the God of the universe. And yet there's all kind of teachers and preachers on our TV boxes that tell you, you ought to go up there and demand from God because you're His child. Ladies and gentlemen, that's not so. He's God. And we ought to reverence Him and approach Him with awe, respect. We so fall short, don't we? You know, that attitude prompted Nehemiah to fast. That attitude, that correct attitude, prompted him to pray. In fact, he fasted and prayed for 4 months. He looked to God, not himself, for the answer to Jerusalem's problem. When you have problems in your family, I know it's good to get counseling. I know it's good to come to the office and talk to a preacher. I know it's good to have maybe somebody else you talk to. But so oftentimes that's all we do, instead of going to God and getting the real help we need. When problems come up in our church and our school, it's not how can we get our heads together and solve this problem. It's let's go to God. Let's let God get these problems solved. Number three, here's one I think we forget. We need to confess our sins. Nehemiah included himself, by the way, when he admitted the rebellion of his nation. And by the way, as leader of a church, when a church struggles and there's sin in the camp, the preacher is not aloof from that. He's a part of it too. Just like Nehemiah. Look what he said in Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 6 and 7. Let thine ear now be attentive and thine eyes open, that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant, which I pray before thee now, day and night for the children of Israel, thy servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel. Now notice what he said, which we, he now includes himself in there, which we have sinned against thee. Then he puts it more plain, both I and my father's house have sinned. We have dealt, look what he says now, very corruptly against thee, have not kept the commandments, nor the statutes, nor the judgments, which thou commandest thy servant Moses. Do you see it? Scripture literally teaches us that God will not hear our prayers if we are cherishing our sins in our hearts. I want to tell you something, folks. Gossip is a sin. Can I get everybody's attention? Gossip is a sin. And don't you ever take one side of a story and start talking about that story. Because if you only know one side of any story, that's gossip. Until you know both sides of any story, you shouldn't even be addressing it. Honestly, the Scripture teaches us in Psalm 66, look at verse 18. Now again, the Scripture teaches us that God will not hear our prayers. Some of us are acting like we're getting prayers answered, and we're not. What's it say? If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. If I know what I'm doing is wrong, and I know I shouldn't be a party to this, and I'm doing it anyway, you're not getting your prayers answered. If you look at another verse found in Romans chapter 2, verse number 4, Scripture teaches again that God will not hear our prayers if we are cherishing sin in our hearts. But some of us misrepresent that because He's so good to us. Ladies and gentlemen, God is good to us. And He may be good to us. His kindness that leads us to repentance is what that's all about. God is always good to us. Even when we fail, God is good to us. And what's it say? Or despitest thou the riches of His goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth to repentance. Well, that's a powerful verse. Because God is good, it ought to lead us to repentance. But our prayers won't be answered unless we confess our wrongdoings. You see, purity of heart and the power of God are connected. The purity of God, power of our hearts, the purity of our heart, the power of our God, they just kind of interwove. They interweave with each other. Next point, we need to recognize our inadequacies. And we all have them. We are all inadequate somewhere in our life. Nehemiah's job had not trained him how to build walls or gates, nor had he ever commanded an army. As an exile, he was unknown to the Jews who had remained in Jerusalem. They didn't know him. He didn't know them. He was unknown to the Jews who had remained in that Jerusalem. Humanly speaking, they had no reason to follow his lead. There was no reason that they should follow him. Who is this guy, crackpot? Yet Nehemiah trusted God and obeyed anyway. You see, recognize your inadequacies. When the Lord tells you to do something, He hasn't made a mistake. If he's told you to do something, he wants you to do it. In fact, he didn't make the mistake. He will never call you to do something that you can't do through his power and strength. In fact, if he calls you to do it, he will give you the whatever you need to do it. He doesn't call people and then not make them adequate. If he calls you to do something, that's why Ron just stays with the stuff, I think. Right, Ron? I mean, just stays with it because, and he said to me one day, Ron did, to preacher, I am not a public speaker. And the first time you all heard him, you said, amen. But has that man improved or what? Well, I'm so proud of you. Really, I am. He gets up here now, he talks so well and applies himself and he keeps pursuing and he keeps working and he keeps doing what he's supposed to do. You know what? God blesses that sort of thing. Now, does he know he has inadequacies? Yes, he does. Do I know I do? Oh, yes, I do. Do all of you know that you have inadequacies as well? Sure you do. And you must recognize those inadequacies in your life. But when the Lord tells you to do something, he knows you can do it. Have you ever been to this place? And I'll explain more of that on Sunday. But, you know, all the time I say to the Lord, you're asking me to do what? And I get this impression, and then I get all this rebuff and fighting and stuff. And in prayer, I say, Lord, are you positively sure that you wanted me to do it? You sure it wasn't Frank? And maybe you just looked at me and maybe it was Frank. No, I want you to do it. Somebody said to me today, he said, preacher, think you can handle all this? I said, well, I must be able to. Or God would never put it here. I must be able to. I must be. I mean, I don't think so, but he's got a lot of confidence in me, I guess. I guess we'll just do it. Well, amen. And that's how you have to look at your life. Whatever it is that you're facing or going through or what you're handling, listen, if God has called you and organized you and put it on you, you can do it. Yes, you have to admit your inadequacies, yeah. But you can do it. In fact, I thought about this today. God will even use my weakness to draw me closer to Him. He'll even use my weakness to draw me closer to Him and teach me how to rely on Him more completely because I can't do it by myself. You know, you ever think about, if you ever was in my shoes, about a radio station in Clyde, Ohio? I said to the Lord, are you sure we could do this? The Lord said, yes, I'm sure we can do this. Okay. We got one in Finley. And now we're talking about Coshocton. And when little things come up or pop up, and when we were told that we were going to have some problems down there with this situation. You see, you don't know all the situations, but I do. That situation, well, God, are you sure? Mm-hmm. Are you positively sure? Mm-hmm. Just keep doing it. And then you get folks riled up about that a bit and saying things. And then you say, now, Lord, are you positively sure? Because we could just stop this thing right now. It'd be a whole lot easier than trying to raise more money. You sure? And God says, mm-hmm. Yep. And then you get down there and you hear a testimony or you hear somebody say, wow, I can hardly wait. Or and you say, oh, okay, maybe so. You know how that goes, right? God will use your weaknesses to draw you closer to Him and teach you how to rely on Him more completely. My next point, look at this point. Be available for God. Be available for God to use you. How am I going to pray? How should I pray? Well, first of all, I have to recognize that God is the sovereign of the universe. Number two, I have to recognize that God is holy. Number three, I must confess my sin. Number four, I've got to recognize my inadequacies. And number five, I've got to be available for God to use. Nehemiah was willing to obey whatever the Lord instructed him to do. He had confidence that God knew how best to handle the difficulties that the Jewish people were going to face. He had to somehow believe that God knew best. Hey, that could help us a lot if we could just know that God really knows best. I don't know best. You don't know best. God knows best. Amen. We too have access to the divine counselor. Isn't that powerful? I got to thinking about that today, that I have access to the divine counselor. After I ate my dinner tonight, I sat there at that table and was looking over my notes. I thought, I have access to the divine counselor. This guy knows every detail of every hardship. This counselor knows every detail of every situation. Why am I so troubled? Are we willing to obey whatever he requires of us? Lord, am I willing to obey whatever you require? Some prayers will never be answered unless we take an active role in their fulfillment. Many times God will cover our mistakes and pick us up when we fail. Aren't you glad about that? Has God ever covered up your mistakes and picked you up when you failed? Now, I don't mean he covered it so you could hide your sin. I'm not saying that. But did he cover you with the blood? Even after you were saved, doesn't he keep washing you with the word? And doesn't he pick you up, even though you failed, doesn't he still pick you up? And aren't you kind of happy about that? Because we always fail. But he covers us and he picks us up. Man, what a powerful thought that is. He covers me and picks me up. What's my job? To obey. My job is to obey. Next thing. Two more and I'm finished. Experience the Holy Spirit's enabling power. We need to experience the Holy Spirit's enabling power. Nehemiah's success was not a result of his education. Boy, I'm telling you, sometimes I get so tired of people relying on what they know, or their education, or their personality, or their political correctness, or their political connections. You know what I'm talking about? There's some people who, that's all their success is. It's what I know, how much money I have, who I know, what I can do, what I can move. Listen, that's not the secret. The secret is not. I'm telling you, Nehemiah's secret was not the result of his education, his personality, his political connections, nothing. He had developed a personal relationship with the Father. He learned to go to God with his needs. Now, that's the secret. You ought to write that down, highlight it or something. You need to learn to go to God for your need. Look at Nehemiah chapter 2, verse number 4. Then the king said unto me, for what dost thou make request? So I prayed to the God of heaven. There it is. Go right to God. Let me ask you a question. I'm just about finished, but do you ever feel worthless? Do you ever feel like, whew, it's not been a good day? Do you ever feel like you're unimportant? You know, God wants you to look at yourself as he looks at you. You know, if you're around people much, you'll start looking at yourself and you'll be a little disappointed because how they treat you and what they say and so on and so forth, and it'll hurt and that sort of thing. And sometimes you'll feel worthless and unimportant. But God wants you to look at yourself as someone who has potential. Remember, I preached about potential not long ago, and I really believe that all of us have potential. And God looks at you. Listen, here's how God looks at you. He saved you. He redeemed you. You're important to him. And he says, every one of you have potential. That's how God sees you. Everyone else may not see you like that, but God sees you like that. And God wants you to look at yourself as He sees you, with potential. In the power of the Spirit, you have the ability to do whatever He asks of you to do. He will supply the energy. He will supply all the strength you need. That's how you pray. And then I thought one more. Get God's vision. Get God's vision and direction. Wow, this is good here. Nehemiah's heart was broken when his fellow Jews told him of the condition of Jerusalem. His heart was broken. As he sought the Lord, God revealed his role in the city's restoration. And that was a blessing. And Nehemiah did it. Now I'm closing with this. What is on your heart tonight? What is it that's on your heart about your life, your family, your work, the things you do for God? If you could do anything with the rest of your life, what would it be? I had a question asked me the other day for the money. For the money, he said, preacher, what do you want to be doing in 10 years? I said, breathing. He laughed like you did. He said, that's good. No, he said, have you thought about it? What do you want to do 10 years? What do you want to do? Where do you want to be? What do you want to be doing? I said this, I don't know. I just want to be doing something that God wants me to do. That's it. Whatever God wants me to do, that's what I want to do for the money. Just whatever God wants. He said, do you know what that is right now? I said, no, I don't. But I will find out. But I don't know right now. I don't. I haven't thought that far in advance. It seems like I just think about what I'm going to do tomorrow. I guess I should be thinking about what I'm going to do down the road a little bit, huh? What are you going to do? Think about this. Where do you want to be in 10 years? Where do you want to be in your spiritual life in 10 years? Same place you are today? Or would you like to be a little further along? Walking with Him, loving Him, learning from Him. I think that'd be awesome. Okay, here we go. Maybe you ought to go before the Lord with whatever desire that is and allow Him to refine it. Seek His face for how to fulfill what you want to have done in your life. Maybe what we need to start doing is surrender our dreams to Him and watch what He will do in and through us. I said, Brother Money, to be honest with you, it's not about money with me. I just want to do what God wants me to do. That's it. Is that where you're at tonight? It's not, well, I want to have a $200,000 house and retire and a Porsche in my drive. Swimming pool out back. You don't know that stuff really intrigues me, to be honest. I don't need all that stuff. I just want to do what God wants me to do. That's it. Whatever. Whatever that is. Where are you at tonight with that? I'm just about finished, but have you surrendered your dreams to God yet? As a child of God, you have the awesome privilege. I thought about this today. We had a little time. As a child of God, you have the awesome privilege of falling on your knees and talking yourself to the ruler of the universe. You think about that just a little bit. It does something to you. It did me. I have the privilege of falling on my knees and talking to the ruler of the universe. Whew. Take advantage of that. He's waiting for us. He wants us to pray. He wants us to stand tall. even though we're on our knees. He wants us to be strong, even though we're on our knees. Maybe we ought to humbly approach the throne of grace with our needs and confess our sins and admit that His life's challenges are too much. Lord, I cannot handle them by myself. The Father then will reveal His plans and equip you with all that you need to succeed. Are you willing to pray something like this? Lord, I don't feel adequate, but I'll obey whatever You command. My friend, I think tonight God will use us in amazing ways if we would just let Him. If we could just pray, Lord, I really don't feel adequate in what I feel You want me to do, but I will obey whatever Your command is. And I know if You command me, I'll be able to do it. Because You will never put on me any more than I'm able to bear. And with everything, You'll always make a way of escape. Be encouraged tonight to pray and to seek God. Let's stand together, please. Heads are bowed for a moment.